And this morning, we're talking about the weed of envy. What is envy? It's resenting the goodness of God in another person's life. It's basically saying to God, you owe me. You owe me. Now, what are we learning about weeds? We're learning that you don't have to do anything for a weed to grow. Absolutely nothing. They will grow on their own. And yet a plant or a flower, you have to be intentional. You have to cultivate. You have to water. You have to make sure that it gets a certain amount of sunlight. But a weed will just grow through neglect. And so it is in your life, and so it is in my life. And so we're looking at this series called Weeds because Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the weed. But I have come that you might have life and life to the fullest. And when Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, that's the quantity of life. That is that you and I get to spend forever with him. And yet he goes on to say, life to the full. That is the quality of life. You see, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins and to die for my sins, not so that we can just spend forever with him, because the fact of the matter is we're all going to spend forever somewhere. But he also died so that you and I could have quality of life right here and now. And yet weeds in your life as well as my life will choke the life out of you and me. And we will never be able to experience life to the fullest. And so what's the key for you and I to make sure that we experience not only life, not only forgiveness of sin, but life to the fullest? Well, we have to deal with weeds. And as I have said, that weeds just grow through neglect. And if you look at your yard and my yard, you know, weeds will take over it unless you're willing to pay a price, unless you're willing to be intentional. Why? Because the ground is cursed. And so it is with your heart and my heart. Jeremiah tells us that your heart and my heart is desperately wicked. That means that it has great potential for weeds such as envy to grow there. And so we have to be intentional. And Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows everything. Everything you do flows from it. And so Solomon is not saying to you and me, whenever you get around to it, I want you to guard your heart. Or you might want to think about guarding your heart. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything, everything you do flows from your heart. And so we have to make it a top priority. And that's why we're looking at specific weeds so that you and I can know what's going to grow in your heart, what's going to grow in my heart if we do nothing. And so we have to be very, very intentional. And today we're looking at envy, resenting God's goodness in the lives of other people, basically saying to God, you owe me. Now, the book of James deals with this, and it's in James chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. It'll come up on the screen. You have it in your notes. You can turn there in your Bible if you like. But look what he has to say here. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy, that means displeasure when someone else is being blessed. How could it happen to them when it never happens to me? If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, that's why Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart, because that's where it begins. It begins in your heart. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. And so what I'm going to ask you to do this morning is don't boast about the fact that you're resenting the goodness in somebody else's life, and don't deny the truth that you're not envious, because most of us battle that. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but check this out, is earthly, that means worldly, unspiritual, that means fleshly, and demonic. Pretty heavy. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find what? Disorder and every evil practice. That's pretty incredible. You better deal with this weed, because if you don't, there will be disorder in your life. There'll be chaos in your life. And guess what? You will find every form of evil in your life. That's how potent this weed is. That's how strong this weed is, called envy. You see, this wisdom that he's talking about, that is earthly and unspiritual and demonic, it extols virtues such as power, prestige, position, privilege, and pleasure. And it was this kind of wisdom that prompted Satan and his angels to rebel against God. It prompted the disciples to argue about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And what God's word says here is where you find the weed of envy, you will find disorder. You will find every form of evil. And that's pretty strong. That's pretty heavy. And so what you need to understand is this. What we're talking about this morning is serious. It's very, very serious. And there is no good that comes from you and I envying someone else. Absolutely no good. And there can be no good results when you and I are motivated to protect, to advance, to focus ourselves at the expense of others. And that's what envy does. You see, envy devalues other people. Self-ambition promotes yourself. And we have to understand that. And what it says here is that envy does not care. It wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Envy suggests those around me and considers their free time, their paycheck, their love life, their success, and says, my life is worthless. It rejects the goodness of God in our life, and it becomes obsessed with the goodness of God in someone else's life. You see, envy resents God's goodness in another person's life. And you might say, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of envy. It's lethal, because it doesn't stay small. It will grow. And envy has the deadly ability to distract my heart and my mind from God's goodness, and to focus on the possessions and the position and the power and the pleasure and the prestige of other people around me. And when I do that, I will find disorder in my life. I will find every evil practice. You see, envy is the desire to become somebody that you're not. And you will lose yourself. You will lose yourself. Envy points to the good things that other people have while blinding me to their difficulties. Do you get that? Envy, okay, gets me to see the goodness in other people's lives without seeing the difficulties and the struggles that they have. I'll never forget, I was probably about 28 years old, and I was in a room with a group of other pastors, and it was around Chicago, and we were talking about the issue of stewardship, and they brought in a president of a bank. And he came in, and he was kind of like Dapper Dan. You know, I mean, the dude had threads. He was good-looking. He was sharp. He was articulate. You know, he just stood before us and started sharing with us. And you could sense envy in that room. I mean, we're looking at him, and we're sizing him up, and we're saying, this dude has the life. And he continued to talk, and then he mentioned his family. And he mentioned Bob Jr. And he kind of teared up, and he told us how much he loved Bob Jr. and that him and his wife were blessed with a child with special needs. And you could have sucked the air out of the room. Everybody was recalculating. Everybody at first, when we saw him, Bob, and we heard him talk, and we were looking at how he was dressed and how he presented himself, you know, all of us probably in that room was saying, man, I'd like to be Bob. And then he shared about Bob Jr. and that he had special needs and that it was a challenge for him and his wife and their marriage and their family. And everybody in that room started recalculating because, you know what, we didn't take that into account. All we saw was a man well-dressed in an unbelievable, probably $1,000 suit who could articulate very, very well. And we're thinking, you know what, I bet you he has this, and I bet you he has that, and I bet you he has a good-looking wife, and I bet you he has beautiful kids, and I bet you they all get straight A's. Because that's how envy goes. Envy always looks for the good while it blinds you and I to other people's difficulty. Envy insists that everybody is happy except for me, and that no one hurts, no one struggles. And envy screams that I'm not valuable and that I have nothing good. It creates feelings towards God and people that are evil, because our life doesn't have enough toys, or we don't take enough vacations, or we don't have better clothing, or we don't have the big house, or we don't have the new car, or we don't have better health than what we do, or we don't have more privileges than what we do, or we are not as popular as what somebody else is, or you know what, I don't know, we don't get the sleep that somebody else does. And probably nothing encourages envy more than Facebook. Right? I don't get on there a lot, but you know what happens? All you see on Facebook most of the time are what people are doing. Their good life. I don't know, it's because we don't have friends to tell anybody, so we want to tell the world. I don't know. But we're telling everybody all the good things are in our life, and what happens is it's very easy to get on Facebook and hear about somebody's vacation and hear about somebody's addition to their house and hear about this and hear about that, and something begins to rise up in you and say, well, why not me? I can't believe. And what happens is envy always takes in consideration the good in somebody's life without counting the difficulties and the struggles that they have. You know what? That new house may have cost them their marriage. That career that they have may have cost them their relationship with their kids. And once you have the big picture, you say, oh, it cost you that much to have that? No, thank you. No, thank you. And what happens is envy only looks at the good and doesn't realize, you know, the struggle or the difficulty or the losses or the pain or the disappointment that may have happened in that person's life because they went after that. And now what they have, they would exchange for that which they lost in pursuit of what they have. Y'all okay this morning? See, envy doesn't take that into account. Envy just says, you know what? I want what they have because it's better than what I have. And it's a weed that you and I have to guard against, because if you don't guard against it, it will grow in your life and your life will become chaos. Your life will become disorder, just a place of disorder, and every evil practice will begin to flourish in your life. You ever wonder why we're so unrest as people? You ever wonder why we don't have peace? You ever wonder why our lives are full of anxiety? You ever wonder why our lives are chaotic? Could it be because of this? That the fact of the matter is, too many of us are envious of other people, and we're chasing things, and because we're chasing things, we don't have peace in our life. We've got disorder in our life, and what happens is our life is being filled with evil, every evil practice. You see, probably the greatest picture of envy found in Scripture is when a whole nation decided to turn their back on God. You see, God created a nation. It's called Israel. And he said, I will be your God, and I will lead you, and I will provide for you. And yet what happened was Israel looked around at all the other nations, and they began to see what they had that they didn't have. And what other nations had was a king. And they said, you know what? We want a king. Oh, we know we have a living God. We know that their gods are made of hands, and they tumble and they fall off of the shelf. But you know what? They have something that we don't have. They have a king and we don't have a king. And they begged God, and they went to Samuel. You can read it in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And they said, we want a king. And God told Samuel, they are not rejecting you, but they're rejecting me. And Samuel told him, if you go after this, this is what it's going to mean for you. The king will take your daughters. The king will take your sons. The king will take your land. The king will tax you. The king will control you. The king will dominate you. And you know what they said? Because they were so locked in on what they didn't have, they said, bring it on anyways. And guess what happened to Israel? Israel was eventually led into exile. And everything that they knew that was good was taken away from them. And they were led away in chains. And they served in bondage. They no longer knew who they were. And they were conquered by the people that they had envied. And it is the ultimate punishment, because it was the removal of family and culture and homeland. It was worse than death. And it meant a hard, lonely life, separated from the one that loved them and knew them. And exile took everything they had. And it was separation from all that they knew that was good. And when you read about exile in Scripture, it always begins with envy. Because envy will always lead you into exile of what God has for you. Adam and Eve, remember them? They became envious. And they became envious of God. You know why? Because God knew the difference between good and evil. And they only knew what? Good. And so what happened is they wanted to know the difference between good and evil, because they weren't having the full experience. And so what did they do? They disobeyed God. And they took of the fruit that God said you cannot have. You can have every tree in the garden except for one. And guess what they were focused on? The one thing that God said no to. And so you know the story. At least most of us do. They took of the fruit, and guess what happened? They were exiled. They were kicked out of the garden. And guess what? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. They had two boys, Cain and Abel. And Cain envied Abel's status that he received. And listen to this. Instead of doing what Abel did, Cain envied him. See, Cain could have had the same experience that Abel did, but he wasn't willing to pay the price. All he did was envy what Abel had. And it led him to murder his brother. And as you and I know, listen, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? And so, Dad, if you're envious, you're going to raise kids that are envious. Mom, if you're envious, you're going to raise kids that are envious. Your kids are always going to say, well, why can't we have that? They have that. Why can't we have it? They have that. Because they hear you. They watch you. And maybe that's what happened with Adam and Eve. And so Cain envied the status of Abel. And instead of doing what Abel did, he envied him, which leads to what? Every form of evil. And so guess what he did? He killed his brother. And I could go on and on and on, but here's what I want you to get. Exile is the natural state of envy. It separates you from who you were made to be and the life that you were made to enjoy. Envy insists that we transform into someone that God has not created you and I to be. And you know how it works, right? You know, you ride in your friend's new car and you smell it. And then what happens is you say, why am I driving the car that I'm driving when I could be driving something like this? Hello. Or you go to somebody's house and you find out that they added a room on. Or they're planning on building a new house. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens is because you saw that in them, now you got to have it in your life. Or you see their new boat. And though your boat's only 2 years old, you know what? It's not as big as their boat. And so you want to go get it. Or you hear about their vacation. Or you read about it on Facebook. Or you learn that they're debt-free. And you envy the fact that they're debt-free. Or you look at their marriage. Or their family. And their remarkable lack of issues there. And you envy their marriage. You envy their family. Or you see someone who you think is less talented than you holding the job that you want. Or you see the man or woman who is physically fit and you're not. And you envy them. And I could go on and on. You see, envy is a selfish desire that causes you and me to want something without putting in the effort ourselves. See, there's nothing wrong with having desires. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord and he will what? Give you the desires of your heart. I'm not talking about not having any desires. I'm talking about envy, which leads to selfish desires, which means I want what you have without paying the price that you paid for it. Hello, sounds a little bit like America, doesn't it? That I want what you have, but I don't want to pay the price. I don't want to go through the difficulties. I don't want to go through the struggles. I don't want to go through the disappointments. I don't want to go through the heartache, but I want what you have, and you know what? I deserve what you have. And that's envy. And what happens is when you have that there, you will have disorder and every form of evil practice in your life. And what is that? To steal, kill, and destroy. See, envy says the life that God has given us just isn't good enough. Envy is resenting someone who's a little bit lower than us. Or excuse me, that we feel we're a little bit lower than them. That's what envy is. And yet what happens is this. If you would believe that God has a plan for your life and that God is the giver of all good gifts, you would not envy other people. You see, envy is in the lives of men and women who have decided that their chances are over, that their opportunities are gone, and that what they have lost is someone else's fault. And so envious people don't think that anything better is going to come down the pike. And you think that God has forgotten about you. And that's just not true. And that's why you have to guard your heart above all else, because everything you do flows from it. So what is the reality of envy? Let me give you some things. First of all, it's just unhealthy. It's unhealthy for you and I to envy. Look what it says here. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. It's well known today that our minds are stressed less and we're more relaxed when we are positive. And it has tremendous physical benefits. You see, listen, envy creates stress and strain that not only eats at your emotional being, but your physical being. And it affects you mentally. And it says here, it will rot to the bone. Envy rots to the bone. It's unhealthy. It's also unwise. Look what it says here. Resentment kills a fool because resentment comes from envying someone. You resent them now. And it says, envy slays the simple. Listen, envy delivers absolutely nothing. Lust at least delivers what? Some form of pleasure, at least for a little while. So does gluttony, okay? Pride gives you the euphoria of feeling predominant and preeminence above everybody else. Anger delivers revenge. Greed gives you a sense of security, though it's false. Being lazy releases you from the chains of effort. But envy gives you absolutely nothing. It's unwise. It's also unloving. Look what it says here. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. You see, love is the antidote for envy because love always wants the best for the other person. Love is always looking for the best and the highest interest of the other person. Envy is the exact opposite of love. And then it's unstable. Look what it says here. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find what? Disorder and every evil practice. What happens is this. You have chaos and you have every form of evil practice. So what does that make you? Unstable. We got any unstable people in America today? Absolutely. And I think a lot of it goes back to we're envying what somebody else has without willing to pay the price for what they have and what they enjoy. And then unbelief. Envy is an expression of unbelief. Look at this scripture here. This is amazing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, check this out, and that he rewards those who what? Earnestly seek him, or he rewards those that diligently and earnestly seek him. So you know what? If I believe that to be true, why would I envy what you have? Why would I not just go to my heavenly Father and diligently and earnestly seek him and say, God, you know what? Here's what I'm asking for. Why do I have to resent it in you and devalue you and bring you down and begin to plan to destroy you or to kill you or to steal from you when I have a heavenly Father who says, you know what, Mason, if you'll just diligently seek me, you know what, I'll reward you for that. It's an expression of unbelief. So how do I guard my heart from this? How do I make sure that I'm not unhealthy and unwise and unloving and unstable and not believing? Well, let me give you some things as we wrap up here this morning. Here's the first thing I believe we need to do. You need to recognize your uniqueness. You need to recognize your uniqueness. Listen, envy comes from feeling inferior. Insecure people are envious people. And it's usually caused by low self-esteem. Because what happens is people who feel inferior, they feel threatened by people who are better looking, and by the way, there's always somebody better looking. And people feel threatened by people who are better looking, better dressed, have more status, have more education, have more charisma. And so how do we deal with this? How do we realize our own uniqueness? Well, in Psalms 139, he says that you and I were netted together in our mother's womb. And then he goes on to say, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You see, listen, there is nobody like you. Do you know that? Do you realize your uniqueness? Why would you want to be anybody else? My father growing up would tell me, Whitey, I love you and I thank God you weren't twins. Now, what was he saying? He was saying, you know what, you're one of a kind, man. And all of us, why would you want to be anybody else? Because you don't understand your uniqueness. And how do you understand your uniqueness? You have to understand your giftings. You know, Proverbs 18 says it's your gift that brings you before important people. Do you know your gift? Do you know your gifts? Paul says don't be ignorant about your gifts. Do you know what brought David before the king of Israel? He knew how to throw stones. That's basically it. Hey, he was a musician. He was a strategist. He could do a number of things that you and I would probably envy, but the fact of the matter, the thing that got the king's attention was that he could throw a stone. And so God can use whatever he has gifted you with to bring you before the necessary people. You don't have to be anybody else. All you have to do is realize your own uniqueness. And by the way, genuineness is very attractive. Would you agree with me? Phoniness isn't. And we get into the phony world when we start envying other people and what they are and how they are gifted instead of realizing our own uniqueness. So realize your uniqueness. Refuse to compare. Look what it says here. This is incredible. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not what? They are not wise. They are not wise. And so don't compare yourself to anyone in this way. Why would you do it? It's unwise, because what happens is when you compare yourself to other people, you will begin to resent the goodness in their life without realizing the struggles and the heartache and the pain that they have experienced. And so how do we do this? How do we ensure that we don't compare ourselves to other people? Look what Galatians has to say here. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Do your best. Just be you. Play before an audience of one. God. Refuse to compare yourself to anyone else. You see, envy is a choice. And whenever I become envious of someone, I need to stop and ask myself some tough questions. What am I believing right now? What am I telling myself right now? What am I saying about this situation right now? You see, be content with who you are. Be content with knowing that, you know what? You're doing your best. You're doing your best because, listen, envy is a selfish desire that wants things in other people's lives that you and I are not willing to pay the price for. And that's why we compare, because we want what they have without paying the price that they've paid. Listen, if you've got a healthy marriage, you've paid the price for a healthy marriage. That means that you've had some tough conversations. Hello. That means that, you know what, you've confronted the truth about one another. Because you can't have a healthy marriage unless you do that. And so just refuse to compare yourself with other people. And then number three, realize God's goodness. Realize God's goodness. Envy is the art of counting other people's blessings without realizing God's goodness in your own life. Just realize God's goodness. Look what it says here. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Wow. You know what he is saying here? Here's what he's saying. God gave us Jesus Christ, the most valuable, expensive gift that one could ever give. And if he's willing to do that for the forgiveness of your sin and my sin, will he not also give us everything else that we need? And so realize God's goodness in your life. And instead of looking at what you don't have, look at what you do have. Because you have, listen, all of us here, somebody envies you. Really? Really? That's just how we're wired. Because they see something that you're experiencing. They see something that you don't have. Man, I wish we could go on all those vacations. I wish, you know what? And they're saying, you know what? We wish we could have kids. You know, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could. I wish I was married. See what we don't see that, do we? We don't see that, you know what, maybe they can do that because what happens is they've lost something. They don't have that which you have. And so, you know what, that's life. But they have some good things going on in their life, and you need to celebrate that. And you have some good things, but you'll never do that unless you recognize God's goodness in your own life. So start being thankful for who you are and for what you have. You know, see, we live in a society that always wants more. Always wants more. We're a society of entitlements. Hello? And it's ripping us apart. Because where you have envy, and we got it all throughout America, you have every evil what? Practice. And you have disorder. You think there's any disorder in America today? You think we know which end is up? Huh? Just a thought, just a question. So you have to realize God's goodness. Let me give you number four. You rejoice with those who rejoice. Look what it says here. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who are mourning. I've always believed this. You and I do not have a problem crying with people. I could tell you a story this morning and have all of you boo-hooing. And then I could tell you that my rich aunt that I never met left me $1 million, and you're saying, why does that happen to White all the time? And why doesn't that happen to me? I can't. He has enough. You know, if anybody needs it, it's me, it's not him. Why? Because you resent the goodness. You resent it. And listen, if you're going to defeat envy in your life, you have to start rejoicing with people who God blesses. Write them a congratulation letter. Who do you need to write this week? Who do you need to call and compliment them on what has happened in their life? Who do you need to say, you know what, I am proud of you. I am so thankful that you got that promotion. What coworker do you need to say that to? Who do you need to shake their hand? Who do you need to be the first one up off of your seat and go like this? Great job. Fantastic. You see, that's the only way that you're going to deal with this weed. Otherwise, you will sit on your hands, you will sit in your chair, and you will resent the goodness in somebody else's life, and it will bring disorder and every evil practice to you. You will kill and steal and destroy to get that which you are resenting in their life. Hello, hello, hello. And so rejoice. Who do you need to rejoice with? Is it a sister-in-law? Is it a nephew? Is it a cousin? Is it a coworker? And then you need to renounce it as sin. That's the last one. You need to renounce it as sin. Look what it says here. Therefore, rid yourself of evil. And when you do this, you are protecting your heart. When you do this, you are guarding your heart. Why should we guard our heart? Because everything you do flows out of it. Rid yourself of it. Lay it aside. Subtract it from your life. Now again, there's nothing wrong with having desires. Okay? I trust you have desires. I've got desires. But envy is selfish desires, wanting what somebody else has without paying the price myself. And so I have to rid myself of that. Otherwise, I will live an unhealthy, unwise, unloving, unstable, unbelieving life. And so I have to renounce it and just say, hey, you know what? And today, many of us in this room need to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? I will refuse to envy other people. I will refuse to do that. And if you'll do that, you'll find the disorder in your life leaving your life. You'll find evil beginning to be pushed back, the darkness being pushed back in your life, maybe in your office, maybe in your house. Because where there is envy, there is disorder and every evil practice. Look at this last verse and I'm done. Here's what it says. It says, for the Lord is a sun, that means powerful, and a shield, that means protection. The Lord bestows favor and honor, that means blessing. And no good thing does he withhold from those who walk what? Uprightly. Listen, God will give you every good thing you need. And you say, well, I'm still waiting on it. Then you know what? You're probably not ready for it yet. You probably couldn't handle if he gave it to you right now. Because you have a loving Heavenly Father who only desires the best for you. Only desires the best for you. And so if we're going to live this life that Jesus came and died for, you and me, we have to be able to guard our heart of this weed called envy. Let's pray. God, I know that this is just America. We have a tendency to envy one another. We have a tendency to look at the good in other people's lives without counting the blessing in our own life. And today we ask you to forgive us, because it's not only resenting the goodness in someone else's life, we're rejecting your goodness in our own life. How arrogant of us to do that. So, Father, forgive us of this sin. And may we, above all else, guard our heart, for everything we do flows from it. And we don't want disorder. We don't want evil practices in our life or in our family. We want to be men and women who experience peace and joy and laughter. So help us to recognize the uniqueness in our life. Help us to refuse to focus and compare with other people. Help us to realize your goodness in our life. Help us to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And help us to renounce it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, would you stand with me? Now, here's what I believe, okay? I believe that when you understand who you are in Christ, it has a tremendous power to kill the weeds in your life. And this the born identity that's coming up here in a week, man, I would encourage you to sign up for that and to get there. It's unbelievable in helping you and I kill the weeds in our life. Hey, God bless you. I love you. Have a great day.